ahead and call this December 13th, last Westminster regular scheduled city council meeting to order. If you would join us for the invocation, the Reverend Audrey Reese.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Let's pray. Holy God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this day, for this season in which we anxiously await the coming of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Make your presence known to us today, direct and guide all of our thoughts, our words, and our actions, so that we lean not only on our understanding, but on your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In your holy name we pray, let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify quorum, please.
I certify quorum.
And do we have anybody signed up for public comments?
Yes, sir.
None? All right, we have special recognition for a city employee, Mr. Bronson.
Chief, won't you and Cody come on up? Mayor and Council, I believe most of y'all know that every year the Blue Ridge Co-op sponsors public safety officials of the year, and this year, Cody Calpe in our fire department was Firefighter of the Year, and we want him. He was recognized at that ceremony, and I wanted to make sure that we brought him to you and let you know that we appreciate him and the service that he has been to us day in, day out. We really rely on Cody, so Cody, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Your service to us all the time, and just wanted to bring him up here and celebrate him in front of you.
Congratulations.
Words about Cody's performance, only the good stuff, don't you?
Well, you know, hey, I take the good with the bad.
Cody has started out as a volunteer with us many years ago, worked for us, left and went into the corporate world and didn't like it and came back to us. So he's had about 10 years with our department as a whole. Cody's what I like to refer to as old school. He has an excellent work ethic, and doesn't matter if I'm standing in front of him or not. He's going to do exactly the same thing. And you don't get a lot of that nowadays. So he's very dedicated. He's dedicated his life to helping folks and serving the community. And I'm proud to have him part of our team. So,
congratulations again, Coach. Thank you, buddy. Next, we have comments from the mayor and council. Any comments from any of the council members?
I just want to do a quick, they're not here, but a quick thank you and shout out to Upstate South Carolina Get Snacked. They did a free Santa shop Sunday at the depot. I had the opportunity to go over there a couple of times, and it was a crowd. It was great, and it was a much needed service to our community. So kudos to Brandy Brockman and her crew for making that happen.
Good. And I'd also like to thank the police department because they had a special Santa thing and roasting marshmallows and all kind of things. And also the Santa Freedom Hall, they hosted Santa and pictures. There were several things. The parade, there are so many things that are happening in our city. We're very grateful for everyone stepping up.
I agree. Any more? A couple things. One, I want to share a little something I was told Sunday, the Bigfoot Festival, as y'all know, was a big hit, big success. And they've been dealing with some issues with funding, and one of the reasons is because they give the bouncy houses free to everybody. And I'm just going to be honest with you, the Apple Festival charges, so I just assumed that they should probably be charging like the Apple Festival does. And then Sunday, I heard from my wife, who heard from a lady who came to her a little while back, and thanked her, wanted her to thank the council, which we didn't have a thing to do with. It was all the Bigfoot Festival, for them having the free bouncy houses. She's low income. She has five kids. And Apple Festival, she was only able to give them one ride each. And they were all disappointed and went home. Well, during the Bigfoot Festival, she said the kids played for 4 hours. They were thrilled. She's got one autistic son, and he just had a ball. So if there's any way we can help them raise funds next year to keep that festival free, I think we should do it. Because that meant a lot to me, because that's what they do this for. But I just want to share that with the council. I want to remind everybody the Municipal Association Training and Legislative Action Day. You've got the booklet on that now. I will encourage every council member to sign up for that. If you can go, it's February 7th and 8th. Be a big help for everybody. And then I'm going to read a letter that came addressed to me, but it's for the council. This is from Governor Henry McMaster. I said, "Dear Mayor Ramey, it's my pleasure to announce the City of Westminster will be awarded $250,000 in community development block grant funding from the Special Projects Program. Funds will be used to renovate and expand W.P. Anderson Park. The Department of Commerce Grants Administration will be forwarding a grant agreement to the City of Westminster for execution within the next few days." And I want to thank Ms. Debbie Snipes for leading this. You're the one that made this happen, so if you want to share a little about what you did, let us know.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I don't feel like it was because of me. With my agency, we are a 501(c), and the mission is to get kids ready for school and to strengthen families. And I've lived in Westminster, and we've just loved that park, and it's kind of gone down without some tender, loving care. So our board decided we wanted to give some money for a few pieces of equipment, nothing like this. We could never do anything like this. So I approached Kevin and talked with him about what the city might be able to do. And he took the dream and shared it, and here it is. It's real life. So I have a dream. You know, forgive me. My vision is, if you watch Steel Magnolias, I know many didn't watch that movie, but anyway, at the end,
colors are blush.
At the end, the whole town is at the park together.
Yes. Having Easter eggs.
That's right. Yes. And I thought, wow, you know, that's my dream. And I hope that's a lot of folks' dream. I've talked to a lot of families in town. They're so excited. The artist did the mural. And so I can't wait. It's just going to be beautiful. And I think it'll be a place that we all meet together and share life together. So I want to thank the mayor. I want to thank Kevin for standing up and doing this for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the pastor behind the park. I approve of this project.
And I do want to thank Kevin over here. I cannot leave him out because Kevin, and it's a whole love for the employees of the city are loving what we're going to do there too. And without them, we couldn't have even begun because they had all that passion too. So I want to thank you too. Kevin.
Kevin, you want to say anything about the grant?
Only thing I will say is I do greatly appreciate your vision and you sharing that with me. It's easy enough for me to go jump through the hoops to get the money if you guys have the vision of what you want. So I've just responded to what I heard you say. And, you know, in our discussions, we talked about having playground equipment that would be there for children of all abilities. I've been blessed. Both my children do not have disabilities. They're not on the autism spectrum, but we have friends that do. And being able to gather at a park where all of those children are welcome, I think really helps solidify friendships and family ties. And I hope that's what happens as a result of this. And you're going to get mine and Kevin Harbin's best efforts in pulling this through. And I will tell you that I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, but the first time I ever had a hint that we should do something at Anderson Park was Stephanie Holbrooks, who is our lady out front of City Hall. She took her granddaughter down there, and she came back. She was sweating. She's like, "You got to do something." She's like, "I go down there, and there's no shade, and the equipment's too hot." And from then on, I was primed for when you and I talked, and because of Oconee County First Steps, you put your money where your mouth was. Created some opportunities for us. I appreciate that and look forward to having equipment out there that I don't think anyone in this part of the county gets, possibly in this whole region where the children that have different physical abilities can go out there and play, and then the children that may be on different parts of that autism spectrum can also find comfort there and stimulation that can serve them in their development. So, looking forward to it.
That's a big hit for us. Thanks. You did a lot of good work on that. Next, we move on to routine business. The approval of November 15, 2022 regular meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read through them? I'm going to ask that we make two amendments to them. On page 6, at the talking about the tree board, one of the things Kevin stated, and I think it needs to be in the record, is that we need a tree board, a 5-member tree board, I think it is. He says due to an ordinance. So I'll move that we put that amendment in place. And then on page 7, under item 6, we discussed naming the facility in honor of Councilman Yusuf Mefla. It states that I suggested naming one of the ball fields, and I think that was Mr. Councilman Adam Dunn. So we'll just make sure we get those clarified, and I'll move that we approve them with those amendments.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, item number 2 under routine business, comments from the interim utilities director, Mr. Kevin Harbin.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, fairly brief. One thing I'm sure on everyone's eyes, not their mind, is the welcome sign coming into Westminster at the port. We finally got a quote. We got the quote through to the insurance company and have a check either coming or has arrived.
It has arrived.
Has arrived. So payment is there. We have done 50% down payment. The man that's doing the sign took over the business of the original builder of the sign. So he has all the artwork, colors, right. Everything. Before the rain is scheduled for Thursday, we're going to be in Thursday to start laying block. The sign is being completely rebuilt. When I talked to the guy, I told him, I said, I don't think, you know, you can match the faded blue of the other side. So we're going, it should be completely rebuilt to the specs of the others in town and what that one was. He's also going to modify the lit sign in the middle to where it can be accessed to change bulbs and et cetera. Previously, the way it was put in, if you had a bulb go bad, if you had anything happen inside, you could not get to it without removing the entire signboard out. So that will be fixed. He said once they get the block work, now you won't see the rock, you'll just see block at first. Once the sign is installed, everything's up, his guys will come back and do the decorative rock around the outside. He said, weather permitting, and he said 3 actual work weeks. So with the holidays and weather, mid-January is what I would guess. If it comes in sooner than that, hallelujah. So, and if anybody's interested, it's Matt Troyer is who's doing it. His company's called NewSign. So, let's skip that one for a minute. The C-Fund sidewalk project, which everyone's also aware of because you get funneled into one lane every day going out of town. Nearing completion, they've done all the tops, part of it when I say the tops, the storm sewer drains, which are embedded in the sidewalk when you walk over the sidewalk where water runs in, you see those. Those have to meet DOT specifications. The manufacturer, one thing is to put this project on hold, is it MST, I think, is the manufacturer. They only run them every so often, but they've got all but one top in now. They've got 3 to do coming up into town. He says if they get that last top, barring any substantial weather, they also should be done by the end of the year. And there's a curb at Retreat Street on Main that I think is Retreat, where when we removed the planters and the tree stumps and poured that down, a lot of people may have noticed that the old curb did not match the new height of the sidewalk. That has been cut out today, and it will either be poured tomorrow or Friday. So that part is done. The Simpson Street Ballpark, we had drainage work. With mud washing across where we did not have the driveway in last meeting. The pipe was put in this week. The ditch has been hydroseeded. Gravel drive is put in. I do have to go over tomorrow and get a cable back up to keep people off the field. The silt fence was put back up right after we talked. And that should have stopped it. I'm worried, I'll just be honest, I'm worried with what got hydroseeded today, that if we get 4 inches of rain Thursday, it may wash out and we may have to clean the road and do it again. If it does and anybody sees it, let me know, we'll take care of it. And the last thing is the railroad crossing, not across, the power line railroad crossing. There's two power poles past the depot, almost at the underpass on Main Street, where there are 13 lines on those two poles. Part of Lee Baker's project to get us our power upgraded and split out was to get 9 of those removed, 2 arms rebuilt, and a neutral wire moved up. And he fought the railroad. I know y'all have heard him talk about fighting the railroad to get the permits to get that done. All that's in place. It was supposed to happen today. We got pushed back till next Tuesday. I have not heard. I'm supposed to hear today or in the morning that we have a go for next Tuesday. I will check the depot. There's no scheduled next Tuesday and Wednesday. We blocked it out again. Everything willing, that will happen next Tuesday and Wednesday. The depot, and from what the guys are telling me, they did some work Monday to take, there was a block that had the grooming and the batting cages that was going to be out. They did some changes and some temporary modifications that should put everything in power. No one should lose power but the depot, and that's because of that transformer that's right below the pole, and there's no way to avoid that. So that's all we've got going. If anybody's got any questions, I'll entertain those. If not, we'll let you carry on.
How's new VFDs doing?
They're doing great. There's apparently some issues with the pumps. Seems to be maybe it happened right about the time all the leaves fell in the river. So they think it may be the leaves were clogging them up. But they can back flush them and they'll work. But I believe she has got some contractors coming in the next week to try to figure out exactly what's going on and get that taken care of. Anyone else? Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Next comment from City Administrator.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bruns.
Mayor, members of council, you see in the, on the agenda, I have a couple of special meetings coming up for you. The first one is the priority setting workshop, which is for you, but it's open to the public. It will be January the 12th from noon to 4 p.m., and Jeff Shacker from the Municipal Association will facilitate that. I and the department heads will attend, but we're there just to listen to what you have to say. This is for you to, I hope, put your ideas together collectively, and that gives us guidance on how we construct the budget in the upcoming year.
Well, who was the name of the person you said would facilitate?
Jeff Shacker. And he is a regional representative for the Municipal Association, so I'll make sure you have
did something for us.
He's done this for us before, but Jeff is available to you as a council, individual council members, if you have a technical question. I'll make sure you have his contact information.
Oh, okay. He's done something for us since I've been on council?
No.
You'll meet him if you go to the MASA training. He'll be there.
Okay.
He'll make sure.
Well, I'll meet him before that.
Well, yeah. He'll be at that meet.
He'll be there.
But one thing I want to encourage all council members, if you'll start now, go ahead and start writing any ideas, things that you might want to look at for next year, any projects, anything you think's a priority, just go ahead and kind of start putting your list together. And that way, when we meet, you've got that in front of you and we can start working through it. It kind of saves a little time if everybody's got a good idea of what they want to do.
On January the 25th, the Planning Advisory Committee meeting will be from 1 to 5 at the depot. This is for your information, Ms. Reese, and who else is on that committee? No, the mayor's not on, actually on it, he just comes. I think the two of you are going to. Yeah. Anybody on council is welcome to come. It's open to the public. That will be, as I said, on January the 25th, the Bolton and Meek, the downtown strategies, and the other consultant. There are three different groups that are all a part of that effort will be in town the whole day, but the meeting will be the second half of the day. Also wanted to remind the council of the OJRSA annual meeting. This is open for, and the Chris Eliezer specifically invites, hopes that you will attend the annual meeting of the sewer authority, and it will be at 6 p.m. on January 5th at the Wahala Depot. Always a good time to be had at that meeting. The last thing that I will just get your pulse on is right now we have a new neighborhood that is being constructed out at Mountain Road in Claremont. It's called Cooper Mills. Cooper's Mill. We go back and forth to where the S should be amongst the staff. Cooper's Mill. And you have awarded the sewer line installation, but right now we have out to bid the water line installation. We're managing that because Troy Rozier, who is our engineer of record, prefers for him to have greater level of control into the installation of those water and sewer lines. He has checked all the design work. He's running the bid process for us. Right now, we are scheduled to receive bids for the water line on December the 20th, which is next week. We expect there to be a tight turnaround for those contractors to begin work. So I'm asking for your input if you would be willing to have a quick meeting. I can imagine that, and maybe the annual audit would be on it if we can get that done by the auditors. If not, it would just be that one item would be on a special called meeting for you to be able to give a bid award that Troy has a chance to vet and review. Very likely the last week of the month, so it would be somewhere between the 28th and the 30th. As you're sitting here today, is there a date that does or doesn't work for the majority of you?
The 28th does not work for me, and the 29th will be cutting it close. I'm coming back from vacation that week.
Yeah, 29th and 30th, I won't be here most likely.
Mayor, what days were you?
29 and 30.
Is there any other day for any of the rest of you that we should steer clear of or that works better?
Okay. It's all right to do it on the 28th, just know that I'll be at the beach.
Okay. I'll be in touch. How about that? But thank you for that. And Mayor, that's all I have. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for the city administrator? All right, we'll move on to new business, as there's nothing on old business. New business, we have consideration ordinance 2023-01-10-01. This is to authorize an equipment lease purchase agreement in the amount not exceeding $310,000 between the city of Westminster and Truist Bank. This North Carolina Banking Corporation to defray the cost of acquiring certain equipment and other matters relating thereto. Do we have a motion to consider this before we open it up for discussion?
I'll make the motion to consider ordinance number 2023-01-1001, authorizing equipment lease purchase agreement in the amount of not exceeding $310,000 between the City of Westminster and Truist Bank.
Motion is second. All right, Mr. Bronson.
Yes, sir, Mayor, Council, we talked about this at the November 15th City Council meeting. We have a bit of a rare opportunity to get a large piece of equipment sooner rather than later. I believe we talked with most of you about large equipment purchases or equipment purchases of any size, having supply chain delays. We demoed a garbage truck, and in that demo of the garbage truck, we had a demonstration of the garbage truck, not demolition, but demonstration of the garbage truck. We have the ability to purchase that truck when it becomes available in March. I contacted our bond attorney, Burr Foreman, and Truist Bank, who has done our lease purchase in the past. And for the purchase price of right around $295,000 at an interest rate of 4.01% at 8 years, we would have annual debt service payments that would range between $33,000 and $44,000. The total amount would be financed at $310,000. The difference between the $295,000 and the $310,000 are closing costs with the bank and the attorney's fees. You wrap all that up into the financing. The first payment would not be due until the next fiscal year. Typically, they're 1 year from closing. So if we close in March, it's very likely our first payment would be March of the following, or March of 2024. You may recall when we did the budget this year, this is the last year that we financed the most recent garbage truck we bought. So when we do the 2024 budget, that debt service capacity is freed up. So we would maintain more or less that same amount and go with the new truck. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The new truck is needed.
Yes. Mr. Harbin does his best. He had the existing truck tore apart in such a way I did not recognize it last week when I went out to the shop. What you mentioned a minute ago, what the staff does, our utility guys, they keep a lot of equipment running that would not otherwise. Mm-hmm. And we also, like Kevin told me earlier today, people like their garbage picked up routinely. So
the winter white color is kind of muted white. I'm asking. I'm curious.
Is that the color of the truck?
Yeah, it is.
I wrote that in here somewhere. Or is it, you're looking at the spec list.
I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is. It is a regular.
So it's not going to blind me at 7:30 on my run, is what you're saying.
Correct. It's got a matte finish on it.
Appreciate it.
Not after the second or third week, it won't.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Oh,
yeah. That white won't last long. But it won't be rust in color. That's the one. Rust in dark green.
It will look new, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, any further discussion? Any more questions? We have a motion and a second. Go ahead and call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Next, item two, consideration ordinance number 2023-01-10-02. This is for the utility system revenue bond. Do we have a motion to open that up for discussion?
Motion.
Second.
Motion is second. Mr. Bronson.
Sir, Mayor, members of council. We were awarded an $8.7 million loan from the USDA Rural Development Office for us to do water system improvements. This is, I think I listed in here, quite a few linear feet of waterline improvements in some of the worst sections of waterline that we currently have. In order for us to get this loan, the USDA requires us to have interim financing. In essence, we are upfronting in cash for the project, and they pay us on the backside. The whole reason we get USDA involved in the first place is because we don't have $8.7 million in the bank So they actually require us to go out and get what is called a bond anticipation note, which is called a BAN, and we will actually bid that out like we would any other type of service. Your bond attorney, Mike Burns from Burr Foreman, will run that process for us. I've put out at the bottom of the page on the agenda, the top of the next page, what the schedule is so that we can, from the time that you, should you approve first reading tonight until the closing of the financing, what that schedule would look like. We are pushing hard to have construction contracts for this money in place in March. You might remember that our plan behind that is the state is going to release their $870 million worth of grants out statewide, and we want to have a contract secured before they do that in the first quarter of next year. So my hope is we get better competitive pricing and get someone on the hook before that money comes out. So we're pushing hard. We had a meeting today with Troy Rozier. Andrew has had to be involved probably a lot more than he would have liked at different points, and we'll have to be some more. Because we're utilizing this funding source, there are hoops we have to jump through, but there are benefits to it. So I would recommend approval, and happy to answer any questions.
There's a lot of hoops.
Okay.
Kevin has greatly simplified this for you.
I bet. The biggest question I've got, I mean, I know what we've got listed out for bid now with the increased cost from contractors. How do we think this is going to come out? And is it going to affect the loan or the grant?
Yeah, so a number of ways to answer that. Troy Rozier has done an updated pricing model on our projects. And his most recent pricing came out where this was going to go over $10 million. And this is Troy running costs based off what he sees as the average trending price for this same type of work. So we scaled back, at this point, we have scaled back three portions of the project that would have been included. Do you remember the names of them? Can you tell us what the names of those?
There was a proposed line through Dinky Line. Mm-hmm. There was a proposed replacement up Coffee Road. And there was an extension at our furthest point up 123, another quarter mile, I believe, toward the fireworks stand. Those are the three that we have trended back based on the severity of the others.
Yeah, so those were the ones that fell lowest on the priority list as Troy constructed it. And it doesn't mean that we won't go after future money to do those, because there's going to be more money that comes through the state that's still funneling through the ARPA initial funding source that we can go after for those additional projects. The ones that we have on here now are the ones that have the highest maintenance or customer service needs of any of the others. As we bid it out, if those prices continue to creep up, we may have to reprioritize again. I still feel pretty comfortable we'll get the bulk of what we want to get done with this, but the buying power of that money is kind of fluctuating. So some days it's going to be a little more, some days it's going to be a little less. We'll know when we bid it out. And hopefully, like I said, that'll come to you in February or March, and we'll kind of save some of the larger inflations that could happen after the state releases all their money. Did I answer your question, Mayor? I know,
yeah.
I talked a lot.
No, well, yeah, I want it on the record. And, you know, my biggest concern is we went from an $8 million project to $18 million. So
what we have priced, if we did everything that was in here now, mm-hmm. based off Troy's pricing, it would be 10.
Okay, so it didn't increase 10, it increased to 10.
It increased to 10.
Okay. All right.
And when this started out, you were at 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we went through the approval process, we're now approved for 8.7. it doesn't mean we can't get other funding to do the rest of those projects. It just means that's all we'll get in this.
But, well, my biggest concern was the grant is based on the number of customers served, and if were we still going to be able to get the grant with the state, you know, with their requirements. So if we are, we're good.
Well, with the USDA RD money, they want to know the number of customers impacted, but the grant isn't contingent on it like it is from the state of South Carolina.
Okay.
The Rural Infrastructure Authority, they give those grants and loans based off the number that you serve. If you serve too few, you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
This money doesn't work that way.
Okay, that's good. All right, anybody have any more questions? All right, call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Next, item three, consideration of bill payment, $2,975. That's half the invoice amount to Superior Sound and Consulting for audio-visual services for the 2022 South Carolina Bigfoot Festival at the request of the city's Public Relations Committee. Do we have a motion to consider this?
I'll make a motion. Can we read it?
Hey, you're good.
And I'll second it.
Council, Mr. Minister, I'm going to recuse myself of turning the form in based on being prior chairman of the committee and spouse being present.
Thank you, Dale.
All right, Mayor and members of council, you have in your packet an invoice. I'm sorry, I was looking for the name of it from Superior Sound and Consulting. The reason for right under $3,000, the reason that I brought this to you is when you deliberated for the budget this past year, you set specific amounts that went to specific entities for their projects. And the PR committee was also given a budget of $15,000. Typically, when the PR committee sends something in to me or to Ms. Overton, we typically pay it and move on. However, with the Bigfoot Festival asking for this amount of money, I wanted to be certain that you were aware that your funding to that particular festival was be increased from the $8,000, or I'm sorry, from the $9,000, an additional roughly $3,000 amount. For the smaller things that came in, we paid them and kept moving on. There were a couple things that were submitted to me that we had insurance questions on that our insurance provider didn't want the city to be the one that was liable for it, so I didn't pay those. But when this one came in, my comfort level was first in you knowing, and then two, you directing me, and I was happy to do whatever you direct me to do.
Anybody have any questions? All right, it's my understanding that the Bigfoot Festival paid the other expenses that they thought the city could pay. So they paid those. City couldn't pay because of insurance.
There were two that were submitted to me that we did not pay because of insurance.
Okay. And the PR committee has additional funding in the budget because they didn't need any for the Christmas in July or the Apple Festival. Is that correct? So they have plenty in there for that.
Yeah, the to date, and Ms. Overton read this right before we printed the agenda. Little under
$9,000
has been spent at that.
Any more questions or comments? All right, call for a vote, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to have some discussion if we could. I have some reservation that hour and a half we spent of going through all the HSACs. It was difficult for all the different agencies wanting to give do all that. And then I think, I just don't understand why, it, and help me understand this, that the Public Relations Committee would pay that, but it's benefits of the Boogie Foot Festival. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to reason out in my mind.
Okay. Lacey, could you help us out?
So, back to the whole, we've never really had a guideline of what we were supposed to do. We've never said no to any events. So, even if it's been something that the city has also gave HTAX money to, if they came to us and asked for portables or something else, we've always paid or supported whatever other event there was there. The money set aside for Bigfoot was supposed to be for the inflatables, and so instead Bigfoot paid for the inflatables in exchange, which kind of switched the funding around, so to speak. But we never had any guidelines that we couldn't pay for anything for another festival.
And I think that's where I'm having the hardest time, is that it was fluid. It was fluid. You know, and it's not fluid with another bet, because it's not my business or my, you know, responsibility, I don't believe, to know what each festival spends and how they spend, you know, that kind of thing, which I think that's, I don't know.
Like with the Christmas in July, we paid, because they got money, I believe, from HTAX. And then we also paid for the porta potties. Just the porta potties that we paid for
yes,
them. So essentially they double dipped as well.
And they had other things that they had requested that they ended up not needing at the end. So I can't remember what they were.
I think it's just, I go back to a statement that Mayor Rainey made about something completely different that has stayed with me, and he even said it before I was even on council, which is perception is reality. And I think what I go back to is what these other organizations are going to see. They're not going to see what the reality, the perception that becomes reality is that if we approve this, we have in essence given Bigfoot Festival $11,000, which is more than any other organization that we granted for HTAX funds. So, I mean, it's just,
I do think it would be beneficial if this was one of the things going forward that we knew in advance.
100%.
Because I think it's hard for us to have this invoice that there's nowhere for it to be covered at this point. So not only do we look really bad to this company that we do a lot of business with, I don't know if you noticed, but there was no sound at the Christmas tree lighting because we couldn't ask them to come and do their job because we still owe them money. So I feel like going forward, we'll be A-okay with whatever someone tells us to do as long as there's a guideline.
Sure.
But we've had none.
Mm-hmm.
And we've asked. So it's not for lack of us not asking.
Well, we have a task force in place now to work on that for you. Any more concerns or questions? This vote is to agree to pay the $2,975 out of the PR committee budget, which they have how much?
$7,939. Yeah, so to date they've spent about 8 of the 15. So is that roughly 6?
Okay. All right, call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes. We gotta pay.
Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
No.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
No.
All right, moving forward. Item number 4, consideration appointment of a commissioner to the OJRSA board. I guess I know a little more about that one, so I'll fill you in. We had a couple of people who Westminster and Wahala were both in agreement on. We discussed with them, and neither one of them are going to be able to take that board seat for us, so we still don't have anyone for that. We need to appoint someone as soon as possible. There has to be someone who does not live in the city of Westminster or Walhalla, and they will be representing both cities on the board. So if y'all know of anybody, I'm asking anybody on council, if you know anybody who does not live in either city who might be willing to serve on this board, reach out to them or give me their number and I'll reach out to them. We need to find somebody for that.
And they cannot be an employee of either city?
No, cannot be an employee.
So they can't live in the city limits?
Cannot be an employee.
And they cannot work for the city?
Couldn't be a council member, can't be anything like that.
And they must live in Oconee County?
Oh.
It's a decision tree.
Yeah. See, Seneca has a at-large seat, which is not a city employee or a city, it's just somebody that they've put in place for that. Westminster Walhalla shares a position like that. We don't each have one. We share one. Tally Grant's been doing it for 20 years, is that right? And he's stepping down this year. And I think, Jimmy, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, the sewer authority, we rotate that, who decides Westminster and Walhalla every year or every term. We get to rotate it, and this is our year to actually choose somebody. So Walhalla's kind of waiting on us. But it can be somebody who lives in Salem, Mountain Rest, Long Creek, it don't matter. It's just, they're going to represent both of them.
Okay.
So y'all keep that in mind, and if you come up with somebody, a name, let me know, and we'll talk to them. Next, number five, consideration of 2023 City Council regular meeting schedule. Everybody has the schedule, they looked over it, and besides me, who does not think we should meet on February 14th?
We're going to meet on Valentine's
Day? No, I'm hoping we don't, but it's on the calendar. If we do, we'll have a big crowd in here, all of our spouses. Does anybody have any issue with any of the other dates? I do have the February 14th. I think we need to change that, but does anybody have anything else on there that they're not able to meet?
Is the July 11th an if needed like it was last year?
So my recommendation to y'all last year was take the summer off, and we would work hard toward that endeavor.
Okay. And when you say take the summer off, does that mean just the month of July, or does that mean like July and June? I'm just trying to plan my vacations.
Well, last year we, and this is for you and the council to decide, last year we worked toward that for July.
Okay.
Because there were a number of vacations.
Can we do the same thing this year?
Well, I think we will. I think we do every year. Every year about May, we start discussing that if we can get by without that meeting. If there's nothing pressing.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But so far as if you need one, you're required by state law to put together a schedule at the beginning of the year so we can post it and let everybody know. And so that's what we would do with this. And then you can cancel it later.
Well, okay. October 10th is my anniversary. It's fun. Valentine's Day and my anniversary.
Oh, you will be in the doghouse. February 14th, the Tuesday before is the 7th. Would everybody on council be okay moving to the 7th? Kevin?
We'll be in.
Oh, that's right. So that would be the one after. I don't have that one listed yet. So February 21st be the third Tuesday. Would that work for everybody?
Do we need to wait that long? Can we just change to look at a Thursday or something like that? Or a separate day? Or is it easier just to do
Tuesday? It's easier to do Tuesday because we have reporters that want to come on Tuesdays. Yeah. Kevin, that work? So y'all are good changing the 14th to the 21st. Any more changes needed?
And Mayor, Jimmy mentioned this just a minute ago. Our plans right now are for us to have all these meetings at the depot. Unless you would like to come here.
I like it here, but
okay.
We setting those meetings, the train comes through, it's noisy. It's,
well,
if we have a crowd, it's loud. The room's loud.
It's also a little more welcoming here. I felt like at the depot last month, we had like you and Andrew sitting there kind of like the tribunal between us and the audience.
For the record, we liked that way.
Because you're like, that was to everybody. It's just from a space perspective, I mean, it's closer to my house, but it's not like we live in a huge municipality.
How about this? If we will check the schedule for this room, because we have to do that before we can schedule the meetings. And anything that we can schedule here, we will. And if it can't be here, we'll go to the depot. Is that all right?
Sure.
And we'll recirculate that schedule before January 1st.
Everybody's good with January 10th meeting. So.
February what?
January 10th. So we'll meet there. We know that one's good. The rest of them we'll have to vote on. All right, so you want to change that before we vote on it? We don't need to vote on it now? Or do you want to vote with amendments?
I think if you'll vote with those amendments, I'll be
fine. All right, do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Motion and second. Call for a vote, please.
Brund?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldridge?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, next we have consideration of 2023 City of Westminster holiday schedule. Y'all got a lot of holidays.
There are a lot of holidays, and for what it's worth, the city employees are very thankful.
Absolutely.
This does follow the state schedule plus Good Friday. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any comments or issues with that holiday schedule? Nope, we're not taking my birthday off, so we'll move right along. Everybody good?
My birthday.
Are you?
Yeah, it's Christmas Day.
Really?
When's your birthday?
Miss Ruth's birthday is Christmas Day. How about that?
Well, we should sing happy birthday.
We might do that for the meet, though.
Hey, I have a trip on Christmas.
All right.
We need a
motion for the holiday schedule.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Call for a vote, please.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes. Next, consideration of the City of Westminster budget calendar. Note we also have February 14th on that calendar as well. That one would also need to change to the 21st. Does everybody else have had an opportunity to look over that schedule?
March 14th be the only one I can't think of.
I think it's important for him to be here, especially for the budget.
Do you want to move that to that and the council meeting to a different date? Or do you want to just move the workshop to a different date? Staff will accommodate whatever the council wants, so we're happy to do whatever.
Is everybody good for March 7th?
Yeah.
Good for y'all?
You bet.
On my left here?
You bet.
No, I... Oh,
a lot of these days are falling around days that I think some days are
So we're moving to March 7th. So everybody good with that?
Are you going to move the council meeting date to that or just the workshop?
I think if you're okay moving one, just move the whole meeting to the 7th.
I think so too.
So you would need to do that. So can we figure this out and then maybe go back and reconsider what you passed on?
Yes, sir. That's why I'm making notes on now. That way we can have everybody here.
So we'll move the 14th, I'm looking at the budget calendar for right now, we'll move the 14th meeting to the 21st, which you already approved. We'll move the March 14th meeting to March 7th.
The 11th is the same issue.
And then April 11th.
It's the same issue, it's a budget meeting and a council meeting.
All right, do you want to try to vote for both of those at one time, or are you going to separate on each one?
But do you want to move your April meeting?
What's April?
That's the day after, that's the Tuesday after Easter.
It's up to y'all. I'm good. As long as it don't affect y'all. I mean, Kevin, y'all are the ones that
it would affect. Oh, we're just happy to be here, Mayor. We'll be here whenever you're back.
All right, so if we move April, so if we move April 11, what are we going to move it to?
Can we do the 18th instead of moving it up into Holy Week?
Yeah, we can stay outside Holy Week.
I appreciate that.
It's so tax day.
We would move that to April.
My tax is done for the 18th.
So April 11 moved to April 18th.
Any other changes on the budget calendar that we need to make?
Is everybody good with those?
Yeah.
Who come up with these dates?
We try to go with that second Tuesday as much as possible. It don't work all the time. All right, so what do you need?
My suggestion is you vote on your budget calendar and then go back and reconsider your council.
Do we have a motion to approve the budget calendar as amended?
Motion.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldridge?
Yep.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, we need a motion to reconsider item number 5, the City Council regular meeting schedule.
Make a motion to reconsider the March and the April meetings being moved to March 7th and April 18th, respectively.
In February. Or we already do that.
You've already got
done that one. Motion a second. Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Aldridge?
Sorry.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Right. So we've got everything taken care of. At this time, we need a motion, and we go into executive session.
Session.
You want to tell us what executive session is about? Is that something we need to go in executive session for, or is it something we can talk about freely?
Well, Mayor and Council, I'm happy to brief you in executive session. I'm also happy to brief you in open session. Whichever you would prefer, I think I can give you more or less the same briefing based off of what I can tell you from what I learned in that executive session at PMA. So, Mayor, what I'm getting at is if you would like to have it in open session, I can give you a briefing.
I would prefer that. Anything that's not contract issue, I guess we could go in executive session if we need to, but I think it's public knowledge. We need to keep as much of it public as we can.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Council good with that?
Yep.
Sure.
You have the floor, sir.
So at the, I'm sorry, Andrew threw my mojo off there just for a second. At the November PMPA meeting, which I believe was November the 17th, on the PMPA agenda was an executive session item roughly stated, or mostly stated, was an offer has been made to purchase PMPA's 25% of Catawba Station Unit Number 2, which is the nuclear reactor that PMPA owns 25% of. Westminster, as a participant in PA, owns 1.83 of that 25%. There was a, the offer was unsolicited, meaning the PMPA general manager nor the board solicited the offer. It was an offer that I was in favor of, because if we have talked about our electric rates and our ability to affect our electric rates, a lot of times the decisions that we make here are based off of the nuclear power rates that we are locked into as a PMPA participant. If there was a sale of that asset, then the contracts that we have to abide by would likely be what I refer to as disrupted. And by disrupted, I mean they'd have to be renegotiated, or something else would have to be brought in to handle some component of our electric provision. For instance, part of those contracts isn't just that we get that nuclear power, but also part of those contracts is that that power is delivered to us. Also part of that contract is if that nuclear power isn't available, that we get power from Santee Cooper. We also get some from the hydroelectric dams that border South Carolina and Georgia. For a lot of reasons, as your board representative and the mayor as your alternate, I see a very I don't want to say all upside, because I'm certain there's something that I don't know. I see a lot of upside to the sale of that asset by PMPA, because for us as the smallest participant, that would then give us more options, primarily the ability to go on what we call the open market and purchase electricity from a number of suppliers. Santee Cooper is one, Duke is one, the Southeastern Power Administration, which is the hydro power, those are entities that we could put a solicitation out, tell them how much electricity we need, and we could create a contract. As things exist right now with PMPA, we can't do that. And that's locked in until the 2042 time range. There are a number of folks that sit on the board that are also in support of the sale of the asset. One of the things that complicates selling portion of the nuclear reactor is it's arguable, particularly in legal circles right now, whether or not any one member could choose to sell their percent if all members don't consent, meaning it's an all or nothing. All 10 would have to either agree to sell or not. There are members on the PMPA board that believe that is not the case, that an individual member like Westminster could choose to sell whether or not the others chose to sell. My guess is if that were to happen, there would be some legal challenges that we'd have to vet out in the courts. The other side of that is part of what makes it an all or nothing decision is that PMPA is hard-coded into the state constitution, which means we all 10 participants exist at the pleasure of the state of South Carolina's constitution as members of PMPA. should the General Assembly choose to put on the ballot for all South Carolinians to vote on a change in the Constitution that would allow individual members of PMPA to sell if they wanted to, that could happen. But there were a number of things that would have to happen. First, the General Assembly would have to be approached and asked to make a decision that they would have to vote on, the House and the Senate. They'd have to agree to put it on the ballot, and then the whole state would have to affirmatively vote to modify the state's constitution that could then allow us individual sale. Up until now, no one has really wanted to take on that endeavor of trying to get the state constitution changed. When you consider that PMPA has, we know that there's 100,000 electric meters PMPA wide, give or take. If you were to just do some real easy algebra with me here and say that each one of those represents about 4 South Carolinians, then you have about 500,000 people that are connected on the PMPA system. That's roughly 10% of the South Carolina population, because the state's population is right around 5 million. When you start looking at it in those terms, then going to the General Assembly and asking for a state constitutional amendment, it becomes a little more palatable, because it's not just 10 that you're talking about. You're now talking about 500,000 as 10% of the population. I have no idea what the General Assembly's, how they would gauge it. We certainly know how you would go about it. I believe there are folks that would work on behalf of different participants to help get that passed. It's possible someone wanting to purchase, let's just say Westminster share, the 1.83, if they wanted to be able to purchase our share independently of all agreeing to do that, they could lobby the General Assembly to make that constitutional amendment. In thinking of a constitutional amendment, the quickest that would come on the ballot would be 2024. So the next election cycle, if everything were stacked up to fall as best it could, that's when it would be there. It doesn't mean that PMPA cannot continue to contemplate or to even go out and solicit additional offers for the sale of its asset. I'm in favor of doing that. We have a board meeting on Thursday. Going to state that whether or not the current offer that we have is vetted out or not, we can, as a PMPA entity, assign a value, a dollar value to what the sale would be. So what's the one, the guy was arrested down in the Bahamas here in the last day or two, the current guy. Yeah. So when he created that, he got a valuation from a bank, they signed the valuation, and then sales started. That process is not that much different than what we could do with PMPA. We could ask for a valuation of the asset, meaning what is the value of 25% of a nuclear reactor providing nuclear power through 2042 with a likelihood that it would be the license for the nuclear reactor would be extended 20 years beyond 2042 to 2062, they could put a value on that. That becomes something we could use at PMPA to market it. I'm saying all that as if there is support across that board to get all that done. I'm telling you right now, that does not exist as we sit here today. I'm not bashful enough to not tell you that the articles that were run by the Seneca Journal over the last couple of weeks very much upset the apple cart at PMPA. PMPA is a group that enjoys its anonymity. There are 10 participants usually in the room. You have 10 board members and their 10 alternates and the PMPA staff. I've not seen a member of the press there since I've been going for 2 years. The press typically doesn't come because it's not easy to find the agenda or to get there. I don't mind telling you that I've invited the press to be there for Thursday to help facilitate their lighting of the dark room, if you will, on the decisions that are made at PMPA. In some regards, I have some sympathy for the PMPA staff. They don't have to deal directly with electric customers like you do. They've got a different mindset than what they're doing. They're trying to manage the buying and selling of electricity on our behalf. But in that, there is some blind spots that they encounter that I can see very easily, because we do deal with folks every day that have trouble paying their electric bill. That could be anywhere. But I believe our electric rates are as high as they are, in part because we are stuck in the PMPA contracts. The mayor and I have a sensitivity to that that, in my opinion, the PMPA staff do not. That helps guide our decision-making where it doesn't come from the PMPA staff. To that end, when I talk about this group likes to operate in a room where nobody knows what's going on, things get really complicated sometimes. You know, we have the financials for Thursday's meeting that are part of the public record, and there's a line that we were up a couple million here, we're down a couple million there, you're up a couple million here, so you got to get to the end, you got to keep your wits about you. Are we above water? Are we under water? Like, what's the situation there? And then we start talking about rates, sometimes people's eyes just fall, so like Audrey's is at me right now.
Why do you call me out here?
So all of that is to say, we received, as a board, an offer for that asset. In my opinion, that's one of the best things that's happened since I've been on board. It is not the best thing for every participant in there. The larger the participant, the less likely they are to like it. Not all the small participants necessarily like it. But very readily available is I believe it was last year's audit that contemplated the rate increases we could have if some of the current lawsuits that Greer and Raquel have against PMPA were to be settled in the amounts they've been contemplated. We would have drastic rate increases, and we have nothing else to do other than pass those on. That would also happen for a number of the other small entities. And that's at the full decision-making authority of a judge I don't even know the name
of. How does that relate to this?
That relates to this because the small entities would be so, I'm going to say, adversely affected should that lawsuit be settled in a way that would be against our favor. The last numbers that were in the audit contemplated somewhere between a 30 and a 50% rate increase for our electric cost. That would be devastating for us.
Yeah.
That would be, how would we even pay our own city bill, much less the individuals,
right,
be asked to have that kind of rate increase? Yet that decision is in the courts. And you have to let it play out in the courts. There's no politicking you can do for that. It's,
right,
it's a judicial decision. However, if the PMPA assets were on the table to be sold, that could affect a judicial decision.
Okay. Oh, I get it. The connection.
The judge has to make the decision. I can't go and solicit the judge for the way I'd like for the judge to make a decision. However, the judge is going to weigh, in my opinion, the full body of evidence, and if the sale were on the table, I think that would weigh in their decision. Again, I can't tell a judge what to do. I can't even give you a good plan for how to get a judge to go your way, other than you shouldn't ask a judge to go your way.
I think it's like unethical or something like that.
Something in that realm. Yeah. Yeah. So the whole point of bringing it to you is, as your board member, I sat in judgment of that offer in executive session, and I don't mind telling you, I'm very much in favor of it. As we keep going through the process, I will very likely come back to you with more briefings to keep you up to date with what's going on, because you as a council would have to decide if you wanted the sale to go through or not. It's not just my decision as your board representative. I get to be there at that initial part of the decision, but the PMPA contract documents are ratified by each governing body. So at some point, you would have to weigh in and decide what you want. So that's why I'm here briefing you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You heard him say that my eyes glossed over. I don't have any questions.
Well, keep in mind, you hear a lot that we have good comparable rates right now with Blue Ridge. We do. My issue is just what Kevin just said. We keep hearing the what ifs.
Right.
The what ifs are what I don't like, because we're 1.8%.
Right.
And if it's a weighted vote, we don't have a say in the what ifs. The what ifs are going to be determined by the bigger cities.
Yeah.
And they're not concerned about those rates like we are. And that's my big issue. It's not that our rates are too high right now compared with everybody else. Locally, we're pretty good. But what could happen?
Right.
This year, how many times have we heard a possible increase of this or that? And it's all things that are completely out of our control. We can't do anything about it but sit and watch. And that's what gives me pause to think we're in a good situation right now.
But this is potentially something we could do something.
If the offer to sell the asset were to come through and the board were to say yes, then it would come to the elected body.
Okay.
However, as we're making that decision, my opinion is just you hearing about it, the word getting out so that more people know that the decision is being contemplated, has value to us. Because the value to us is more folks knowing that this is an option. To the folks that don't want the sale to go through, they want less people to know about it, so they don't have to hear the voices.
I understand.
Well, I can only give you a grand speculation, but if you were to look at current federal legislation right now, there is a decided movement to do away with carbon emissions. And where natural gas produced electricity has been very favorable, particularly in the pricing for the last 5 years, maybe even 10 years, natural gas produced electricity has carbon emissions. Nuclear does not. It's 98 to 100%, kind of depending on who you ask, carbon free. So as we continue to move toward less and less carbon emissions, and you can look at any federal regulatory report that shows the very large utilities are starting, they're not constructing any new natural gas units. They certainly aren't doing any more coal, and they're decommissioning those and they're looking for alternatives. So you have solar, you have wind, but something that you can rely on day in, day out is nuclear. And then I read a report where Congressman Jeff Duncan, either last week or this week, introduced legislation to try and make sure that nuclear stays a viable option going forward, because there's some folks that don't want nuclear at the federal level. Does that answer your question? I mean, I could talk about this all day, so everybody's in here just falling asleep, but that's my short answer.
And Jimmy, we talked about this a couple of years ago. We felt like with the increase in natural gas, we're probably safe. We're in a better position. But these lawsuits and these constant hearing the possibility of a these increases that we have no effect over. That's what kind of swayed me back. I agree the nuclear is the cheapest way to go now, but the what ifs keep coming up. You know, if you want to keep me satisfied and not nervous, quit throwing a what if at me. But we keep hearing these what ifs, and it's that's the part that concerns me. And we do have other options. So if we could sell it, it would be an option that I think we should consider. But there again, it's a big decision.
Kevin, just a quick question so I can wrap my head around this a little bit and make sure I'm understanding everything. If we went to changing the state constitution, what you said was as soon as we could get on to 2024, and if my thinking is right, if we go a legal route to the courts, well, that's probably another 2 years before us even goes before a judge, at least, I would assume.
Well, the court cases that are right now are pending in the court system.
Okay.
And the timing on that.
Those are already 3 years old.
Right.
I think. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy? Were those filed in 2019?
It's been a long time. I think what he's talking about is if we had to go that route.
Oh, if we had to go that route, yes.
I mean, there may be some precedents if one of those comes through, but also we don't know if a settlement could go through at any point in the future, which could firstly affect what's going on here before we even get 2 years down the road. Maybe.
Correct.
I mean, they could be on the settlement docket tomorrow and us not know about it.
Sure. Okay, that's...
And to give you an order of magnitude, and I hope that it doesn't alarm you too much, at one point, the amount that's disputed in the courts is $100 million. And that was a few months ago. And so what I mean is that value grows every month. And so if that value, if the judge was to say that Rock Hill and Greer win that case, then the other seven of us would owe them $100 million plus. Very likely, we would have to borrow the money as seven to be able to pay that off. Again, that's in the hands of the courts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Actually,
does anybody have any more questions for Mr. Bronson about this? Or comments? Is that it? Is there anything we need to go in executive session for then?
I told you everything just now. I would have told you in executive session.
Okay.
I just talked back.
All right.
Really?
All right. All right. Well, one last thing, just a reminder for council and everybody in the room. The Westminster Senior Outreach is once again planning to feed everybody on Thursday the 15th. Not everybody. I thought everybody in Oconee. All Oconee citizens, is that not right? Yeah, city employees and council members are welcome to come.
City employees.
Yep.
And city council.
Yep. December 15th, Kevin and I will be at the PMPA meeting, so we'll miss it. But I encourage you to go because they do it's some really good food. All right, anything else?
I think we need to sing Ruth happy birthday.
Start it off.
It's Christmas.
It's not until Christmas.
Oh, you don't want to...
We're not going to see you until Christmas.
You're going to see me Thursday.
We can sing it.
Judy.
Sing it
Happy
Thursday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Ruth. Happy birthday to you.
All right, if there's nothing else, y'all have a Merry Christmas. Thank you all. Thanks, Council.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Thank you all for coming.
All right.